You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
The show must go on.
It's show time. Get it? Because I'm Beetlejuice and she's show. Anyway, B-Way Showtime. You know, the whole being a podcaster thing. Listen or else.
This week's guest is Andrew Bancroft, a.k.a. Jelly Donut with Freestyle Love Supreme, Preem, Preem. Broadway is back, and so is Tony Award-winning FLS. Catch them at the Booth Theater with their final performance on January 2nd, and then they're taking the show on the road. Look out for FLS on tour in a city near you. Deep Cut, you can watch their Hulu documentary, We Are Freestyle Love Supreme, and join the fun with the FLS Academy. Andrew and multiple FLS castmates make cameos in a star-studded Tick Tick Boom. And of course, check out his fabulous band, Moondrunk. Now, let's go back to a time we were younger for a second chance of hearing my conversation with Andrew, aka Jelly Donut, from July 16th, 2020, recorded for my live YouTube series, The Show Must Go On, Line. This is Microphone One. We are live. Hello, everyone. Thanks for coming on The Show Must Go On, Line. Today's guest is Andrew Bancroft. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. You know, I'm doing as well as I've done during this pandemic time, I guess. Lovely Brooklyn, where things are different as they are across the world. Mm. But how are you? You're in Washington.
I am in Washington. I'm very grateful to be here, to have some outdoor space I can go to. I have an adorable dog who's just chilling right next to me. And you might see him kind of use that couch area or go outside. Who knows? He's improvising as well.
Same thing with the cockroaches here in Brooklyn. They might just scamper through, or a rat might join me. It's really a veritable wildlife sanctuary here. So
amazing. Yes, we welcome all creatures here.
Great and small.
There are cockroaches here.
I have not seen any for some time. You know, I left Brooklyn for a few months of the pandemic to be out in nature more, and thought they might have taken over, but they did not. They stayed away. So
that is something to be worried about for sure. We get some visitors out here, but mostly a lot of hummingbirds. I love those.
I love hummingbirds. I was just in Maine visiting my mom, and there's a bunch of hummingbirds who come through there, and I got a good slow-mo video. They're fascinating. A picaflor en español, which I like that word. Yeah.
Amazing. How fancy of you.
I'm not fluent. I just always liked picaflor. I really like that word.
I love a multilingual interview over here. Last time, we did get into some Portuguese when I was in the FLS Academy rap recess on Sunday. So this is just like flowing it all.
I love it. So who was speaking Portuguese? Was that you?
Sim, eu posso falar pouco de português, porque minha mãe é brasileira. E você entende?
No, but pero un poquito español. No, I'm terrible at Spanish, and I'm certainly terrible at Portuguese. I think I got some of that. I love hearing people rap in languages other than English, and we've taught kids from Mexico, Japan, hearing high school students rap in Japanese in front of other American high school kids with their jaws just dropping, like, wow, that sounds so amazing. One of the really cool things about getting people from different places together to do this bizarre thing we do.
Wow. That's amazing. I would love to hear that. Anytime, like, when I would watch y'all on Broadway perform with Freestyle Love Supreme, if there was a different, like, language where people would go into their, like, very unique circumstances, and you're like, ooh, I love that. So we will be getting all into Freestyle Love Supreme and the Academy and Moondrunk and everything. So I first want to say this is a very special edition for two reasons, because this is the 50th episode of The Show Must Go Online. And I'm so happy.
Congratulations, that's huge. Wow, when did you start? How long did it take to do 50?
Thank you. Yeah, it started probably, I would say, 2 weeks or so into the pandemic. And when we were in quarantine, there were like so many interviews going on the first like week and a half. And I thought, okay, let me give that space to other people that like have this all set up. And I kind of figured out all the Zoom and StreamYard now and like all of those aspects, and been a journey since.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, it's crazy to see how all just transforming your lives, both public and private and work and play, onto the online space is I don't know. It's sad, but it's also had some real silver linings to it too. You know, I am like a slow technology adopter, so I'm always like, shockwave, what do I do with the login? So now I'm like, I've caught up enough, you know, to get things done. Like, I actually can run a Zoom webinar and turn into breakout rooms with kids and those kind of things.
And speaking of someone who's amazing at technology, I see Get In Projects. Hello, Kyle.
Can I see the, can I see the chat too?
I don't know if you can see it, depending on how you're looking at it. It's here on StreamYard or on the YouTube link. The comments are below. I see Geddon saying, congrats. Lisa O'Neill, we know you, Lisa, says, hey. It is always so fun to see y'all here commenting along. And we will be definitely wanting your comments later on when we do the word bank from the audience. So definitely start, get those thinking caps on as well. Eva, hello. We are international here, live from Denmark. So cool.
Ooh, nice.
Yes.
Hi, hello, thanks for joining. What time is it? It's getting late.
I know, for sure. And the other thing we are celebrating is tomorrow, or I guess tonight at midnight, is the release of We Are Freestyle Love Supreme,
Yeah, on Hulu, the documentary that has been in the works for 16 years. So directed by Andrew Freed and starring a bunch of us FLSers. And yeah, it's exciting. I'm pumped. Yeah, it was. I got to see an earlier version of it, and then they sent us the final version. I was like, I'm gonna wait and see it when everyone else does, you know. So I don't know what's in the very final version, but the first one was just like such a dear enjoyment of watching friends of mine create something from the. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they're babies. We were babies, you know. And this is right after. It starts not long after Anthony and Tommy and Lynn graduated from Wesleyan, which I did as well. It was, you know, a year before Lynn and Tommy and a couple of years after Anthony. So it was just really lovely to see footage from that time and be like, oh yeah, we all had some haircuts there, didn't we? Although I can't talk now. I mean, I'm like, COVID cut is, full effect.
Yes.
But
I love a good quarantine look right now. And especially back in the day, little college and post-college, we've all had some interesting hairdos there. And
the baggy pants and the, you know, yeah. I don't think I had a suit that fit me until like a year ago. And that's, I don't know. Yeah, I look back at pictures from those times, college and post-college. And it's worth watching just for that, I guess.
Right. Nostalgia. But it's so cool to think that someone had the foresight to film and to get all of that behind the scenes access. And, you know, especially like someone like me, who filming and reporting is like my life. I love to see other people's minds at work and how they like get all of that stuff. It is so cool. And like the little aspects that someone might not think would be like important to film or whatnot are sometimes the best gems out of everything.
Sure. Yeah. The relationship between, you know, the friends in this group, I think, are great to see. And yeah, Andrew, who directed and just decided to start filming, it was a lot of foresight. You know, I don't think anyone knew where Freestyle Love Supreme would go or where any of the careers of the folks involved would go. But I think it was just one of the cool things about live theater is he had an experience. He saw something and was like, there's something here. Mm-hmm. Or I had this experience where I want to capture a little, I don't know what I'm doing exactly, but I want to see more and capture some of this. And it ended up you know, leading all the way to this film release tomorrow, I guess, and its release premiere at Sundance. Was that this year? Oh my God. Yeah, I guess that was January, but so a huge congrats and thank you to Andrew Freed for, you know, being, I guess, inspired and following his kind of inspiration to really make something cool for us. You know, it's like having a wedding videographer for 16 years and you're getting married to all your college buddies. Is that I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. What a fun way of thinking about it. That's great. Yeah, everyone is just like feeling nostalgic now for FLS and Jody saying, hi, friends. Jody actually helped me cover the FLS opening night on Broadway. And that was, that was amazing. What was it like, you know, you were just saying that you never could have imagined where FLS, Freestyle Love Supreme would have gone after just like starting out with a couple of friends and then you're opening on Broadway. What was that like?
Yeah, I certainly never thought that would ever happen. For one, I've never seen improv on Broadway. I've seen little glimpses of, you know, I saw Oh Hello, with John Mulaney and oh my God, complete brain shutdown.
I know who you're talking
big
about.
Big mouth, Nick Kroll. Brilliant comedians. And they would bring, you know, like a Tina Fey up or, you know, they'd have a celebrity guest in the middle of the show and they'd riff with them. And I'm like, oh, that's a little, you know, improv on Broadway. But I feel like people want to invest in a known product or a short thing. So first of all, it didn't seem like it was in the realm of possibility. And then, you know, just the format. Yeah, it was kind of beyond imagination. It was never, you know, I got into freestyling just mainly in college and I just kept doing it because I was obsessed with it. It was just fun. It was just like the best way to spend my time. And it like lit me up in different ways. And it was a challenge, but also that kind of like spark of excitement and fear just kept coming back. And I'm like, I got to do that again. I got to do that again. And, you know, I would enter battles in Oakland and, you know, I never was like, this will be a career path. That'll happen. You know, like, was not, you know, but that's kind of one of the beautiful things about it too. I think it was just following joy, I think, for all of us. And that joy led to Broadway because a lot of amazing other roads got paved along the way. And certainly Hamilton and, you know, the great work of Lynn and Tommy and Anthony and everyone before. So yeah, I feel like I was very lucky that my joy road ran into a train and I grabbed onto that and here we are. Yeah.
Well, we are lucky as well to have you because you certainly add that fun spark of joy and you're so personable and a lot of people here commenting and when we saw you on Broadway and off Broadway and then of course everyone who was in the Academy, it's cool to see people who like love what they do and are so passionate and just want to share that love and passion around and like just play.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, you have an experience with this with the Academy, I think too, where it's just if you can make that any part of your career, it's like, what a blessing. You know, we don't always get to enjoy what we do. And I don't either want to say that like, oh, every job has to be that enjoyable. You know, there are jobs are always going to have some part of them that are not enjoyable, you know, and it's kind of a very privileged thing to be like, if you don't like your job, just find the joyful job. You know, that's not available for everyone. And I didn't really think it would be available to me either. And right now it's almost not because, you know, live theater is shut down right now, which is another reason why doing the Academy and being able to take some of this joy and also involve more and more people that we get to learn from and hear their voices is really like a blessing to like light us up. I kind of want to see the comments as they go. People watch me learn how to. So if I click the YouTube video, am I going to double up on
Yeah, audio. As long as the audio is down on the
YouTube. More people.
Yeah, I think that's what I was. I would like watched me a second ago, and it was a very trippy Bruce Willis time travel moment. 12 Monkeys. So where do I put the volume down? Thanks for watching, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this part.
So if you hover over like the video on the bottom left, you should see like a little white bar with a line that you can toggle back and forth.
On YouTube or
on YouTube.
So I'm playing that, and yes, got it. I think, right? Yeah.
YouTube tutorials brought to you by BUA Show.
Yeah. Sorry, y'all. And then I think I'm, wow, this is weird. I'm watching me just a second later. All right.
Yeah, I know. That is a bit trippy.
It is. All right. I'm going to look at that every now and then. Right now, I'm just going to look at StreamYard. Sorry. Back to you.
Thanks, Andrew. I love that. This is kind of the best part of these interviews is like, once we figured out that we're going to do these interviews live from our own homes, the like idea of it being like this perfect or like a normal type of interview, like where all the technology is just like standard and what you would do if you were in like a broadcast studio, like that's just not going to happen. And it's been really fun to see how like, you know, especially like if my dog just walks behind me or like there's a technology something, it's like this is our lives, and it's I kind of like that aspect, so thank you for bringing that in.
Yeah, it's where we're at right now, so you either accept it or, you know, oh, who's that?
That's Limbo.
Or your mind gets into this like control, you know. I'm a perfectionist sometimes, so when I, you know, really want something to be working, I find myself like batting up against it and like, wow, I'm really not enjoying myself the way I could be if I just kind of accepted it. And you can always work to make things better, but if you're not accepting the things that you can't change, it's like, it's something that early on in this pandemic, I think I really tried to adopt this this motto of good enough. And yes. Anthony wears a shirt sometimes that just says good enough. And it's a great improv motto where it's just like, oh, you did it. You did the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, in improv, we all, like 100% of the shows that I did on Broadway were a blast, and 100% of them, I had a moment afterwards where I was like, oh, I could have said this, or I could have, you know. And if you focus on that, you drive yourself crazy and don't enjoy it, you know. But if you're like, good enough, what was the beautiful thing? And you also want to give credit to the people who really enjoyed something, even if you think, I could have made it better for them. I could have done that, you know.
Right.
You know, I could have held up my partners better and made, you know, there's always that like, a little bit, this could be better, but good enough. Hey, pandemic, we're here, we're moderately sane, and we're alive. Like, thank you.
Yes. That's honestly such a helpful tip for life, and I appreciate having that. And it's going to kind of stay in the back of my brain. I think when I do anything, even like if we're talking about the Academy, when I joined that, it was like, I can freestyle in the sense that I'm like improvising every time I do an interview because you never know what the person's going to say. And then you like go back off of them. But I've never like done beatboxing or like improv in that way. Or like, I love to sing here at my own house or in the shower or in the yard with Slim, but I don't necessarily sing a hook as like a backup for my friend who just did this awesome rap. And I loved that feeling of freedom that I didn't have to be perfect. And if I were perfect, that there, then like, why was I taking this? Because we're all learning and we're all getting better. And it was like this really open environment. So thank you for creating that environment with the Academy to make all of us feel like we could be special in our own ways.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, it's such a beautiful thing to watch too. And for me, it like, it's really comes down to your definition of perfect. You know, people sharing their voices in the moment and making each other laugh. Like, that sounds perfect to me. They did something, you know, and if we're holding ourselves to like, well, Beyonce perfect on this type of, that's not what we're doing exactly. You know, we're really like, what's perfect is listening, supporting, being truthful. Those are kind of perfections that we strive for. And if you can't get a word out and blah, 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 and somebody laughs, and like, that might be perfect, you know, for that moment. So
yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's so, there were even some moments, it's hard to remember like specific moments, as I'm sure I've heard y'all say a bunch too, is that like when you're in the moment doing a freestyle, it's amazing and everyone laughs. And then after the show, you're like, what did we just do? But there were so many times where like maybe there was like a misconnection, or someone who was like the guest on the stage that night said something, or like you did something and it felt like, oh, maybe how would I do this? But then you turn it around and make it so memorable. And like that was perfect because you just ran with it and you made it fun.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, like sometimes before we go out on stage, we'll say, make mistakes. You know, the one thing we always say is got your back. So if you miss that connection or you don't drop the punchline, and sometimes everyone in the group can tell that you were heading for something and then it fell flat, or you just stopped rhyming, you know, like those things happen. And it's like, all right, I know they've got my back. Somebody's going to come in with something and might even turn it into gold, you know, might find the alchemy to make that awkward moment. And to like, let the audience know, we're like, hey, this is happening. And here's the joke. And so it almost feels like, oh, was that intentional? No, that's the goal. And, you know, again, sometimes it works better than others, but that's what we always work toward and strive towards. Yeah.
Amazing. So it's funny because we're 20 minutes in, but I usually start with your origin story. It's interesting with you because I've gotten to know you a little bit and I've like heard you in other interviews, but I love to really talk about an origin story from how you got started with this, like as a child, and got you to this point.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I was at the Springfield Nuclear Power Plant and ate a donut that was too close to the reactor. And origin story, it's impossible for me to not think about superheroes and Marvel. But my origin story, I was born in rural Maine, and my mom actually gave me the name Jelly Donut very early on. I was a fat baby, and she gave my brother and I food names. He has red hair, so he was Pumpkin Pie, and I was Jelly Donut, and just kind of stuck. You know, I was obsessed with words growing up, and still am, and songwriting. I wrote a lot of poetry about monsters when I was in like grade school. I loved Edgar Allan Poe and, you know, just creepy monster rhymes. And then got into, I had a band called Bung Monkey in high school, where I taught myself to play bass, and we were like a punk band, and our songs were about urinals and spanking your monkey. And it was a blast. I loved it. So music has, you know, always been very important to me. And then, you know, I think I was already obsessed with rhyme, but I didn't have, Maine is very white, and there isn't a, at least then, I don't think there is now, but there wasn't a huge hip hop, live hip hop culture there. I was lucky enough to be exposed to Young MC, Stone Cold Rhymin' was my first rap cassette tape. And then my dad bought me an NWA tape. He did not know what NWA stood for. And I like listened to it once, and he loved it and like hit it. Every time I would listen to it, I'd do it. And then I hide it in a drawer. I'm just like, he can't find the thing that he gave me. There's a lot of bad language in this, but I loved it. And I was into Cypress Hill, and, you know, I was into a lot of hip hop groups, but I had never had the exposure to try it before. I was more into grunge rock. But then a buddy of mine, Jeff Maumee, freshman year of high school, of college, after just hanging out for a couple of months, he was like, hey, let's try this thing. I think you'd be good at it. I think you'll like this. And we just went to his little dorm room at Wesleyan, and he put in another cassette tape that was a Funk Master Flex instrumental tape. And he started rhyming about the things in his room. And I was like, oh, he's just making this up right now. And we went back and forth and did it for hours. And from that point on, I was obsessed. I was like, let's just do this pre-party before going out every night. I would pull, my favorite thing was to pull new people into that world. I felt like it was, you know, it was like that the first time you start swearing as a kid, or like, oh my god, do you have a sip of beer? Come here guys, you know, it was my like secret little drug that was like, this will light you up, you know. And we would just like make fun of each other around the room. So I became obsessed with it, and it started working its way into rock band music that I made. And, you know, I did a lot of comedy stuff, and I moved from Maine to San Francisco after college and lived there for 13 years and met incredibly talented, bizarre artists and teachers. And we would put on cabarets, and we had a bus that we would charge people like $10 and fill a bus and illegally go to places around San Francisco in the middle of the night and climb a tree and have a folk musician play a song. It was really fun. It was like San Francisco in the early 2000s for me was just like this creative explosion. It was people trying anything and everything. So you had these extremely talented artists who are like, oh, just breaking into the folk world or the hip hop world, especially the East Bay has a huge hip hop scene. And then you'd have the whole spectrum all the way down to like this really out there guy on acid trying something with a wig. And you're like, he's probably not going to be on Letterman anytime soon, but they're all there working together to make some. It was crazy. You know, it was like, generally, if you were looking to get into entertainment and you were in San Francisco, people would eventually be like, oh, are you going to move? When are you moving to LA or New York? Mm-hmm. But there was such a bizarre concoction of people there and such a love for art that I really got to try any and everything there. And there was a show called Tourette's Without Regrets where I would dress up in weird costumes and just help out my buddy Jamie DeWolf, who put on the show. And help them with various things. And they had a slam poetry contest every month. And they would also have a rap battle. And eventually I just decided, I was like, oh, maybe I should enter a battle. I've never entered a battle before. And I was like, but I don't love the idea of just getting on stage as me and being like, I hate you. I don't know you, but I'm a better person, you know? That's my best rhyme right there. My imitation. Some amazing, you know, the battle scene has amazing freestyle artists. But I thought it'd be funnier if I wore a costume and was something completely zany and weird. So my first battle, I did this character called Gabriel, Angel of the Lord, which is just me in basically a giant adult diaper and nothing else, and wings and a curly wig and a halo. And I'd talk like, hi, I'm Gabriel, angel of the Lord, and everything is amazing and exciting. And you know, I would like tell the person I was battling how much I loved them. And, you know, it was ridiculous. And it was, you know, it's a sometimes gritty scene in Oakland battle world, but it was mostly like, I would say like 60% love, 40% a little more hardcore hip hop. And that side, you know, that has a little misogyny to it and homophobia to it, you know? So I'm like naked on stage battling with people who took it a lot more serious than me. And it was usually like very well received, and occasionally an MC would like want to fight me for dressing up as a clown or an old lady or a donut. I finally eventually got a giant jelly donut costume. Absolutely. My friend Wynn made a giant costume that I could barely see out of. But so that was my introduction to really performing freestyle, which I loved. It was very fun, but it was still daunting. freestyling and the object of the game, even though I was kind of being silly with it, was to put somebody else down and to lift yourself up by being better than somebody. Which again, I don't, no disrespect to that world, because you know, such amazing freestyle MCs come out of that tradition, and I still really love it. But it was really, it took until finding Freestyle Love Supreme and the Freeze. Anthony and I started a group in San Francisco called the Freeze, which is, David was a member of that before he joined FLS. We had a bunch of other great musicians, female singer rappers, and we kind of took, Anthony kind of brought his experience with Freestyle Love Supreme, and we took some of those games and like made some of our own games, and we had a live drummer and guitarist, and that was just freestyling for like lifting each other up, making each other laugh and lighting each other up. And that was like, I kind of didn't really battle after that. And I was like, oh, this is home. This is where I've been heading the whole time. So yeah. I'm going to leave you a moment here. That was like most of the story pre FLS. And then I moved to New York and auditioned and fully joined here. So, yeah.
But it's so cool to hear these like different aspects that like, I didn't know a lot of that. And it's really cool. Like those formative moments that sometimes it's great to try new things that maybe aren't your jam, but they teach you what is your jam and what you do like by trying things that like don't necessarily fit as well. And I love hearing about that too.
Yeah. Oh, and it was great. It was perfect for the time. It was really challenging, and you know, it forced me out of my comfort zone every time. When you get on stage in a battle, it's you know, it's the nerves that you already have from freestyle, and also the like, you know, adversarial, you know, boxing match kind of side of it. So it really is like it was a great training ground for like honing punchlines. For me, freestyling was all about punchlines. So that's like setting up something funny to say about someone or a situation, and then working backwards to set that rhyme up. Right. You know, and it's something that like pet peeves in Freestyle Love Supreme to me is a punchline game. That's a battle, but you're not battling another person. You're battling coleslaw, or you're battling manspreading. You're battling whatever, you know, that's kind of how I look at it. And I'm like, I'm so glad I did those battles, because now I get to be like, pretend angry again and aggro, but really take it out on something that I hate. Coleslaw.
Right. So. I was there for that night.
Oh, were you? Yeah. But I know that one comes back up sometimes, because people are like, you hate coleslaw? And every now and then someone will be like, I hate coleslaw too. Yeah.
I do love in that game too, like the most random things that people hate, like that there would be some that were like very consistent. Like, why do so many people hate cilantro? I love cilantro.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a genetic thing that makes like one quarter of the world's population think cilantro smells like farts or something. There's something weird like that, you know, like the asparagus thing. Because that is a regular random one that comes up. My favorite in DC that I ever took was passive aggressive post-it notes. And it's such a reminder that like specificity in improv is like really key, you know. Yes. it's really nice to have like, oh, you're like, how much can you think about that? And you're like, no, you can really dig into that story,
right? You know? Yeah. Oh yeah, that's amazing. So speaking of getting suggestions from the audience, this is a great opportunity. So if you have a word that you would like Jelly to freestyle with, please drop it in the comments. We'll get to it in a few minutes, but I wanted to give you all a few minutes to kind of get those thoughts and post it there. You can post it like a note, what? Right in the comments.
Lovely. So how are you doing? How's it going over there? Sorry, you're in charge of the questions.
You and Anissa, both of you are like, I'm going to be the reporter now.
I guess we're used to it, the mic one mode.
Yeah, I'm great. Thank you so much. Honestly, though, like having these conversations have become such this like joy in my life, because before like starting the series, it was kind of like, okay, like maybe I'll hop on a rap recess and then that'll be the way I talk to people, or maybe I'll like call a friend. But there wasn't that like consistent way of like getting to know people and having this like semi face-to-face contact. And that's just like really, really like helped make it semi-normal in like a not normal world. There's that like little piece of normalcy, and that's like, it's been great to have this. So thanks for asking.
Good. Well, yeah. And we had planned for so long, and I feel like I delayed, and now it's like the perfect time. It just seems like this was supposed to be.
Yes, this was supposed to be. And actually, while we still get a few more of those words, I want to talk about one of the reasons that this was postponed for a great reason, and something that the Academy, I think, did a really great job at, you know, speaking up and getting people involved. So the We Are Freestyle Love Supreme was supposed to premiere right during the time that the Black Lives Matter movement really was getting their steam, and how did that aspect kind of affect you, the Academy, and all aspects of that?
Yeah, well, I after George Floyd's death and murder, and certainly murders that have happened right before that and right after that, and for decades and, you know, centuries before that, certainly that boiling point, I think, struck all of us. And it also, you know, we're also like tossed and turned from the pandemic, that to also see like, oh, right, this hasn't gone anywhere. This is as bad as it's been in recent history. And it was just another gut punch, and also like a really difficult thing to hold in your head for those of us who are privileged enough to be able to put that kind of thing down. And hide in our homes and not experience that day to day. And so, you know, I think the Freestyle Love Supreme and people at Hulu, I think we had a conversation about it. We had a really great conversation as a group, Freestyle Love Supreme, about, hey, delaying this, our voices need to be used for something else right now. And there, our attention as a nation should be on something else right now. And that's even hard to say, because our attention should always be on these important things as well, you know, but there are moments in history where the catalyst has just like struck, you know, spark has really turned into a flame where hopefully real change can be made. And it feels like, even, you know, the needle is moving, even if it's not nearly as much as many of us would like it to. I think we felt gut punched at the time about the reminder that this awful thing was there, but it wasn't a gut punch of, oh, now we have to put things on hold. It was none of that. It was just like, of course, you know, it's time to join hands and continue this fight and really, really look at our own involvement in it, and how we can use our voices, and how we can use our money, and how we can use our time to fight for justice and equality and equity. So it was kind of a no-brainer for all of us. And the fact that the, you know, film is coming out tomorrow is not like, cool, we're done. You know, but there is the pot, I believe, has gone from full boil to hopefully sustainable simmer or sustainable boil, where we can continue working on this and, you know, also fold in some of these other sides of our lives. And the Academy, Academy as well. The Academy, so Freestyle Love Supreme Academy, started by Anthony Tuchuch, Shockwave, and I, has been, you know, such a blessing in this pandemic for us, certainly, and the community has been awesome. It's given us all an outlet for voicing how we feel in our homes, digesting news that is really intense, having friends and family members sick and or dying. And when, you know, the heat was turning up on Black Lives Matter, it became a great space for that too, for voicing, for really, and it's not just a place, when we get together and play rap games or share songs with each other and improv together, it's not just like, oh, here's what I gotta say. It's listening becomes, it's really as important, if not more important, than sharing in what we do. And, there were some moments where just listening to our facilitators and community members of what they were going through and what they are feeling with Black Lives Matter on top of pandemic, I learned so much. And there were moments that were just like heartbreaking to see people at the end of their rope and tired, but like also that's empathy. That's an empathy machine, that helps open our hearts up a little bit more to see what somebody else is going through, even if it's just a glimpse. And there were also inspiring moments. We've been doing sessions for kids, and I was in one of the sessions for younger kids, and I kind of started it with like just a little history of hip hop and like, hey, we don't always talk about the fact that we're riding on the shoulders of giants when we're looking at this art form and how much respect and praise and gratitude we owe to Black communities struggling for equality in the 70s, creating this art form and a peaceful way to express themselves together, and how it's still happening now. And, we ended up having a game in that session with the kids where we talked about kids, their vision of the future and how it could look better. What is your vision of improving what our situation now? And the things that came out of these kids' mouths were just like, just gives you hope for the future, for these future leaders. You're like, oh, and it validates a little bit like, oh, the more we can give them microphones and outlets and skills, or introduce them to things, then they'll just take it and be amazing with it and teach us, so that was the Academy really not solving all the problems, but giving us a way to like deal with some of it, which I think is the best art, kind of at its best, is letting us let those emotions and experiences go through us and connect to other people. So
beautifully said. Yeah, it's important to pay attention to everything that's going on and to actively say Black Lives Matter and to do as much as we can to help make sure that everyone feels included and involved in every different aspect. That when we're having these rap recesses, you can definitely feel that the diversity is strong and that it only makes us stronger. And it's something else that I've been hearing a lot. And saying that, you can't like Hamilton and not say Black Lives Matter. You can't like Freestyle Love Supreme and not say Black Lives Matter, because they're just like, these are foundational elements to what you love. We're based because like, if there weren't those Black artists, then where would we be today? So I like to make sure to say that and how important it is. And seeing the kids really get that and see a better future, that's amazing. That's worth everything.
I agree. Thank you for saying that. And it also was a great reminder of we can keep improving. It reminded us, we have a number of scholarship students of color in that group. And then it reminds us like we're virtual right now. We can seek out more opportunities for kids from different backgrounds, adults from different backgrounds to join us. How do we improve that? How do we hire diversity consultants and pay them more? So we're really kind of looking at our organization and like, how do we put the money where the mouth is on Black Lives Matter? So
great,
working on it.
Great. Well, that's great to hear, especially as someone like in the community. It's really nice to hear that the people who are running it are so conscious of that and looking to make those changes that I think everyone in the world are, but are doing that in a way that's not just like reacting, that it's just like, let's take the moment, let's take the time and really make sure we get that right.
For sure. And you know, it's really, it's certainly not lost on us that a number of us are white straight men, you know, working in this field of, yes, improv storytelling, but hip hop is a huge part of it. And it is a black art form traditionally. So that is not lost on us. And we never want to be anything but respectful and hopefully paying homage to and adding to, not taking from, you know. So that's our goal.
Amazing. So you look at some of these.
I shifted back over to StreamYard because I can't watch myself from 2 seconds ago. It's too insane.
Yeah. Well, I was fully in with what you were saying, so I didn't look at the comments, but Lisa goes, take a break. And then Cindy's like, shenanigans and safety. And then they are talking about the safety dance. And it's just like, even in the comments, people are freestyling. It's amazing.
Great. I just want to listen to that then. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to get.
I haven't looked at any of those comments. So I don't know. Yeah. What would you like to do?
So I'm going to start here. Eva has the first word that I will say in a moment. When, if you want to get the beat, and we'll start doing that.
Play a beat? All right, let me do that. See if this works. Oh, wow. All right, let's go Dr. Dre. Okay, this is What's the Difference?
Turn it down just slightly.
Yep. All right, and I'll move my mic a little bit too, so it's more me, and I'll come a little closer.
Excellent.
Okay.
First word is summer.
All right, I gotta say, 2020, this is the summer that I will always remember as a frickin' bummer. Seriously, I'm locked up here in my cave. Gotta wear a mask to behave, but people won't wear the mask. And that's not that bad. It's one simple task. Please tell your dad, because we're trying to help that dude survive in a pandemic. Also, racial injustice is systemic, and we are having many, many issues. So we crying all summer. Please grab those tissues. But hopefully after this big change comes, because after the storm comes the sun.
Dinosaur nuggets.
All right, fuck it. I'm gotta go back to Flintstone time. That's right, dropping a Flintstone rhyme to the town of Bedrock, going to the movies. What kind of snacks you got that will be groovy? Let's see, I could have a brontosaurus burger, but I don't really like that because yo, meat is murder. So I would rather have a fake dinosaur nugget made from impossible meat. Yes, this is an impossible treat. I drive my car with my impossible feet. That's what we do with me and Barney. And I'm not talking Barney the dinosaur. I'm talking my best friend next door. Him and Wilma are, what's the other lady's name? Velma? No, now I'm talking about a whole, is that true? Bam, bam, damn, Danny. Give me another word, please, ma'am.
Smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord. That's right. When you eat a whole bunch of food and afford more than you can afford. Wait, Smorgasburg is where all these nerds come to Prospect Park, and it makes it difficult to ride my bike as they go to pay more food for money for food they like. They get it out of a food truck. But now we can't do that. You gotta wear your mask. It sucks. You cannot eat with a mask in the park when you're less than 6 feet away from another hipster today. Come out and play. Smorgasburg is not what I have over there in my cupboards. It's mostly empty in the refrigerator because I stayed away from Brooklyn as if I was a hater. But I'm back. So good to be back, BK. All right, what else should we say?
Shrinky Dinks.
All right, hold on, let me think. I think it was a toy. They were called Shrinky Dinks, but I'm not exactly sure what they was. I never had one. I had to call up my cuz. Shrinky Dink, I guess it's something else. For me, it's difficult. It's bad for your health. But when you jump into the ocean, downstairs, there might be a commotion. It's very cold in Maine when you jump into the ocean. It's true. So you might have a Shrinky Dink down from 6 inches to 2. I'm getting too graphic. I'm sorry. Let me switch up the topic. I had it.
Documentary.
All right.
Call the doctor, not Dr. Dre. The documentary, he's got something to say. Andrew Freed, and we are Freestyle Love Supreme. Tomorrow on Hulu, yes, check it out to stream. That's been a whole part of my dream. Now I'm in the movie, also on Broadway, that's groovy. And you get to see my friends from 16 years ago. Many of them sporting a go. T, C, D, M, C's, Free, Lee. Taking the ABCs, the words, the nouns, and verbs, and putting them together like they're ridiculous theater nerds, which they are, which they made also Broadway hits, In the Heights and Hamilton shit. Nah, this is legit. Let's take one more word because Jelly Donut is ready to quit.
Last word is mystical.
Oh, yeah. Grab your Bibles and grab your crystals. We about to go on a spiritual, mystical adventure. Oh, and my beat is stopping. I need to find another one because this rhyme is dropping. Maybe I'll scroll up a little. Here we go. Mystical on this mystical flow. I was a hippie, didn't you know? I like to get trippy in the snow. I got a mystical vision. Maybe we could just make an incision in our heart and open up and pull it up apart and leave a little space for everyone else in art and realize that we were actually all one being. Even though on the screen you are seeing two different people, show and I are one. That's right, and this is fun, it's begun. You can mush us both together. What would we look like then? I don't know. I could spin around like the world, and as the world is spinning, believe that I'm looking at all of you grinning. I feel your soul, I see your eyes, even with that look of surprise. I want to say that the love is real, the love for each and every one of you that I feel, because we are mystical beings born from the stars since the Big Bang. I know it sounds strange. If Jelly Donut smoked too much weed, then you can cancel, proceed to give up, not listen to me ever again. But either way, we'll still be friends. From the beginning of time till the time ends, until we meet each other again, when we come back as dinosaur nuggets. And that's all I got for you. Thank you. I love it.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Oh, amazing. Brilliant mind at work.
Thanks. Thank you. That was very fun.
Yeah, good words, that was y'all. Great. There were so many good things here. I was trying to make sure like everyone got at least one, and y'all were bringing it.
Oh, nice. Yeah, thanks, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. I'm now scrolling through and looking. Oh, nice. Yeah. Shrinky Dinks. What were Shrinky Dinks again? Oh, my gosh.
I know. I was like, wait, is that what I think it is? And I'm like, Jody, I'm just going to go with you on this one and just say.
I thought it was a toy, but I never knew what they were. But yeah, Shrinky.
You would take like the food and like make it smaller in like the little, I don't know.
Or they had those little foam caplets that you'd put in and be like, whoa, it went from this big to a dinosaur that's this big. And like, smoking magic. Cindy Howard, I see your daughter's on. Hi, hello to you and your daughter.
Yes, I'm like, hello. Just looking
at the, I'll go back and look at the feed someday.
Amazing. Yeah. So we have a few more minutes left, and I want to make sure to also talk about Moondrunk and your fabulous fiance, mm-hmm. Ashley Perez Flanagan, who has just mm-hmm. won an award. That was so exciting. There's so many fabulous parts that I would be remiss not to bring up that amazing group and her.
Well, thanks. Yeah. Ashley is extremely talented, and she and I have been working on, so we are in a band called Moondrunk, and there's a third member named Yair Evnen, who did some of the orchestration and played on stage in Waitress for many, many years, and a number of other projects. He's a killer cellist and guitarist and writer, and he and I and Ashley make music with a band called Moondrunk, and we have one album out called Lunacy that is on Spotify and iTunes and all the things. And we've been working on new music during the pandemic. You know, we've written quite a bit, and Ashley and I were doing kind of quarantine shows every other week for a bit, which we're probably due for another one. But yeah, we're very slowly putting together. We would like to release an EP this year. But yeah, that's, you know, I love songwriting. It's just one of the things that, like, you know, freestyling is great because you're songwriting in like fast real time. But my brain is kind of doing that throughout the day a lot of the time anyway. So I'm like, yeah, let me slow it down and pick up a guitar and do it, you know. So yeah, that's a really fun outlet for that. What else were we talking about?
just you and Ashley and Moondrunk and Lisa saying TBT that time we went to see Moondrunk in Brooklyn. That was so much fun.
Oh, fun. Oh, yeah. The Way Station, which yeah. I need to reach out to the owner. It is closing. I believe he's moving, but I think it may be another, kind of result of the pandemic there. But I have to reach out to Andy, the owner, who was always really, really sweet. That's the first place we ever played. And it's right around the corner from my house. So it was just like, you could Lego stuff over there. And what a fun group. It's a Doctor Who themed bar, mm-hmm. or was a Doctor Who themed bar. So it like attracted a really lovely nerd audience. Right.
we'll push up my glasses, nerd. I love a good nerd time. Also, before I forget, I brought my FLS cap here that I thought maybe I'll rock it for the last part of the interview. Although you can't really see it.
Yeah.
With the curls, it's always so funny to wear hats because
it looks good. I'm kind of digging it.
Thank you.
Ernie, one of the guys who worked at our theater, made this hat that like Shockwave has one. A few of us have these kind of amazing.
Oh, wow.
Should have been rocking that.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, I love the microphone on the side there. So cool.
No, right? Yeah, it's got all the things.
Yes. And are there any, did you have something you want to say first?
Well, you might be leading into it right now. I was curious. You said you talk about nonprofit shout outs sometimes.
Yes.
I'd love to give two of them. One is the Hispanic Federation that Lin-Manuel Miranda works with a lot. We're doing a Prizio Freestyle Love Supreme campaign, or whatever you call them, contest really. And for $10 up to however much you want to give, you get entered for as much money as you put in to win a free 30-minute virtual show. And I think that'll be with Anthony and James and Anissa and Kayla and I, probably.
Yes.
I believe that through. So check that out on Prizio. And it, most importantly, that goes to support the Hispanic Federation and the emergency response for Black and immigrant families facing trouble with COVID-19. Yeah. So it's definitely worthwhile. And then maybe we'll be in your living room. And then another one I wanted to shout out is called Best Buddies, and it's an organization that creates friendships between individuals with and without intellectual disabilities. And I worked for them for many, many years and love that organization. And they are starting their leadership conference tonight, and it's the first time they've ever had to do it virtually. So I've sent them a little rap video for their opening night, but that's a cool organization too. We do a lot of work in New York, but across the world, really. It's international. So check out Best Buddies. Yeah.
Yay. Amazing. Yeah. I love to bring up the nonprofits and organizations and charities, because sometimes you never know these parts of people that like they have something that's been like a lifelong commitment or something new. And it's always really nice, because now with 50 of these interviews, I've gotten so many different nonprofits that I've gone and checked out and donated. Great. And I've heard other people have as well. So that's really cool. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thanks for making that a part of your routine. That's great.
Of course. And of course, I want to ask you how people can find out more about the Freestyle Love Supreme Academy, and if there are kids or adults looking to join the fun and, you know, all of that jazz.
Yeah, absolutely. We're doing a bunch right now. We have a new Welcome to the Cypher 2-day workshop for folks who have taken our classes before or not. We especially want to invite new people in, and people from anywhere can take it now, you know. Assuming you can stay up late enough in Japan, then join us. But that is on August 1st and 2nd, and we have rolling admissions online, so you can apply at any time, and we'll tell you when the next class comes up. On Thursday evenings, so in half an hour, we will have two different youth sessions, one for 7 to 12 year olds, one for 13 to 17 year olds. Those are super fun. It's just an hour of playtime to allow parents to have a date night while they're beatbox and rap. And that's a lot of fun. Ashley is one of the facilitators on that. So she's getting ready for that. And Tarek and Carly and Alice, great facilitators of ours. And then we're doing 2 weeks of youth camp in August as well. So all that information, that'll be really fun. That's a whole week long, Monday to Friday. Kind of 3 hours a day. All of that information is, we're starting a new website. Right now, you should go to freestylelovesupreme.com/academy. And you can always email academy@freestylelovesupreme.com for more info about that stuff. Hope to see you there.
Yes, if you've ever considered it, if you've ever thought, can I do it? Yes, do it, because it's for absolutely everyone. It's so much fun. You'll make so many friends. So that's just my little like endorsement as someone who did it and just like had the best time. So
thank you. It was so fun. I saw Cho's class show and it was fire.
Love that. It was so much fun. Just quick side note, having three members of Freestyle Love Supreme who were currently on Broadway take some time to see us in our show in a gym was bonkers. So thank you for coming.
We were psyched. It was great. I think Utkarsh came too that night too. I think he was there. No? Was he?
I don't. Utkarsh went to a different one because it was You, Shock, and Two Touch.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Yeah.
Which was pretty cool. Squad. And it is so cool to think that we're going to get to see so much Freestyle Love Supreme now on Hulu coming out, because one of my favorite parts was that you had to put your phone away and be in the moment. And in a time like this, where we're like doing everything on our phones and everything is like technology, it's so cool that Freestyle Love Supreme is like phones away, be present.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I definitely miss that. I'm constantly like checking on Ruth Bader Ginsburg's health and I can't put my phone down. Just like, what's the next hopefully great thing that's going to happen and not bad thing, you know?
Yes.
But yeah, it's a good reminder to when we get playing any of these games. This is probably the longest I've gone today without checking my phone. Yeah.
Well, and thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on and everyone who's watching. And I want to share, yes, that the Show Must Go Online continues throughout quarantine. And we have more FLS members and Academy members. We have Chris Dela Cruz tomorrow and Dr. Polly Saturday. Monday's Nia. Then we've got Bill Sherman. What up, Bill? He's coming on next week. So they're so much fun to look out for. A lot of the members here who've been commenting are Showtreon. So if you've liked what you've seen, you can join us. Patreon.com/BWayShow. Join the revolution. We are going to have a Freestyle Love Supreme watching party tomorrow at the same time as the Twitter party. So that'll be fun. If it's something you thought about, now's a cool time to join the jam and everything. So thank you. That's my little pitch. I appreciate y'all being here for it. I'm going to take us out with a little freestyle. See, it doesn't matter if you rhyme or not. You just got the flow. And I like your palindrome. So you keep going back and forth. I'll see you later. And I'll see you at the show. Bye.
Yeah.
Woo.
Thanks, y'all.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the 34th episode of B-Way Show, the podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review so you can be a spy on the inside for future episodes. Head over to the Booth Theater to see Jelly Donut and the Freestyle Love Supreme crew on Broadway and check out their opening night coverage on BWayShow.com. Thanks to all the Showtreons and special shout out to the Showstopper and Shonanigans levels. Claire Freeman, Kelly Chapman, Ashley Stazak, Shannon Wheeler, Judy Kottner, Naomi Kottner, John Benson, Alyssa Wallace, Cindy Howard, Julie Larkin, Lisa Michelle Martine O'Neill, Margaret Howie, Eva Finklausen, and Sharon Salzberg. If this was your jam, you can become a Showtreon. Head over to patreon.com/BWayShow. You get exclusive access to film performances, photos, and interviews, as well as up-to-date news on what's going on in the theater world. It's a fun time. Come check it out. Thanks as always to Kyle Braxton, aka Geddon, for these awesome beats, Jelani Remy for the beautiful intro riff, Alex Brightman for the Showtime promo, Chelsea Hill, aka Illustrating Diva, for the cool cover art, all the wonderful guests, and all of you for listening. Broadway shows are announcing their new opening dates. While we're excited to see everyone get back to work, we must stay vigilant in our calls to make theater a safe space for everyone involved. We need reports on how companies will be enacting anti-racist, anti-transphobia, anti-ableism, and anti-abuse work. We can't go back. We must move forward. Get your vaccine, wear a mask, be safe, and let's take care of ourselves. Proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network. We'll see you at the show.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.